Great. Thank you, Dr. Lin. He's actually my major professor, so this works out. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to talk about crop water production functions for grain sorghum and winter wheat. I'm a master's student at K-State. All right, so for an introduction, first, I want to point out productivity of water-limited cropping systems that we're going to be talking about today. They can be reduced by the untimely distribution of water and also cold and heat stress that affect cropping systems. And we're going to specifically be talking about winter wheat and grain sorghum, which exhibit drought tolerance and avoidance traits that are adapted to the southern and central high plains. And models can be used as a representation of a complex system, like a cropping system, in order to answer the questions about that system. And as we analyze and evaluate those models, it can be used to guide the development of decision support systems. So the objective today for my talk is to evaluate the predictive accuracy of what is called the Kansas Water Budget, which was developed, it's been around for a while, but it was developed by Lloyd Stone and Dr. Khan. So we'll evaluate the predictive accuracy of the Kansas Water Budget for crop water use and grain productivity of grain sorghum and winter wheat in water-limited cropping systems. So this is a kind of figure depicting the layout of the Kansas Water Budget. The Kansas Water Budget, the goal was to have a simplistic model using the Keithes criterion. We know that simpler models are usually the best models. So this model input, we have temperature, solar radiation, precipitation, we have crop coefficients, we have starting soil water at planting here, and we use this to calculate a actual ET values and to put into a water balance that runs on a daily time step, and we output actual ET for every day of the year. And the way it works is the user will input starting year that they would like to start simulation, and the crop rotation that they want to run, and the number of years they want it to run for, and it will run and give you crop water use and yield for every year as output. Now these crop stages here in the bottom left, those are fixed dates where we separate, so we have for wheat and sorghum, this is in order to apply a water stress factor, because we know that during certain periods the crop water is more important than other periods, so that is put into this effective ET, and these dates are set, so that can have an effect on location, and like different producers will start different days, so that can have an effect there. So we get an effective ET, and that is used in a crop production function to calculate yield. So we have five field studies that we used with six different cropping rotations, continuous wheat and continuous sorghum, wheat fallow, so these are in the bottom right, so wheat fallow, wheat sorghum fallow, and then 2 4-year rotations, wheat sorghum fallow, and wheat sorghum fallow. And these are the five studies. There were three in bushland, and I have listed the rotations that were done there, and then one in Colby, wheat sorghum fallow, and one in Tribune, a 4-year study. So as you can see there, because this is the Kansas Water Budget, we did try to do some things with bushland data to see the differences there, if it was applicable to other locations. You can see on the map where we have the different sites. Okay, so what we're looking at here, this is yield versus crop water use. We have crop water use on the horizontal axis in millimeters, and on the vertical axis we have yield in megagrams per hectare. And this black solid line is the pooled model regression. So that's the regression for all sites from the model. And these different points are the different sites in different colors. So the regression line for that color mark is the regression line for those points. So you can see that three of the regression lines align pretty closely with that model, while one of them does not. And we have here, these points are important. At the point where the regression line hits the x-axis, we call the yield threshold, and that's where we expect, like the slope represents one increment of crop water use would affect one increment of yield in megagrams per hectare. So that's where we'd expect yield to begin, is at that yield threshold. So as we look at the predictive accuracy for this crop water use and yield relationship for wheat, we can see that the relationship of yield to crop water use simulated by the Kansas water budget was comparable to the relationships developed by the three of the four studies. The fourth one that was not was that red one that I mentioned. The earlier study conducted in bushland indicated less crop water productivity than the other three. And simulated yield thresholds, we talked about, were consistent with observed yield thresholds for all of the studies except that earlier study conducted in bushland. So as we look at sorghum, we have the same type of plot. We have crop water use on the horizontal and yield on the vertical. And we have the pooled model regression is that black line again. And we have the four lines. There's also added in the fifth study, Maroki et al., which is the purple. There's only a couple points. And they were combined with the von Hart and Jones study for the regression, that green line, because it was a sorghum-only study. But these all pretty much fall in line together. They're pretty close together. So as we evaluate the predictive accuracy, we can see that for the Colby study, simulated yield water use was consistent with the experimental results. And simulated yield thresholds were consistent with observed yield thresholds at all the locations. And experimental yield response to an increment of water was less than that calculated by the Kansas water budget for three of the four studies. So we also looked at the predictive accuracy for crop water use and yield individually. We saw that there was a linear relationship in crop water use in three of the four cases in sorghum and all of the cases in wheat. When it came to yield, we found a linear relationship in three of the four cases for sorghum and one of four cases in wheat. And as we pooled results, as we pooled all the studies together, all of the cases indicated a linear relationship for both sorghum and wheat. So we also used what's called the Nash-Sutcliffe method in order to assess predictive skill. Predictive skill is defined using that method. If the model has predictive skill, that means it provided greater accuracy than the mean. For crop water use, two of the four cases, both in sorghum and in wheat, had predictive skill. And for yield, one of the cases in sorghum of Colby and one of the cases in wheat that of Tribune had predictive skill. So in conclusion, we can see that simulated yield thresholds were consistent with those calculated from wheat and sorghum field studies, with the exception of that earlier bushland study involving wheat. Simulated yield water use relationship was consistent with that of three of four field studies of wheat and one of four field studies of sorghum. And simulated yield response to water use offers utility in wheat and warrants further investigation in the case of sorghum. And I want to acknowledge that the research was supported in part by the Ogallala Aquifer Program, which is a combination of these groups. So, I'll take any questions.
Go ahead, Pete. I did not mean to say that, and I understand it. Crop water use, how is that estimated? How is that measured?
Crop water use, that's a good question. So crop water use was calculated by taking the soil water at the end of the crop period, so at harvest, subtracting the crop water use total soil water at the end minus total soil water at the beginning, and then adding in season precip. Yeah, it did depend on location. I looked at the different field studies. In the case of sorghum went into November in some cases. Like the wheat seemed to line up more closely to those setups. It was usually harvest was later, but there's such a wide range for each of those dates. It's hard to. The biggest difference was that ending date for sorghum. Was usually a lot later on average.
This goes for irrigated or rain fed?
This is rain fed. Yeah.
Your reference ET, those shown on the flow chart?
Yeah.
They showed the inputs of solar radiation and temperature only? What was the reference?
The equation was, I believe it's Jensen and Hayes, it's the name of the. Yeah, the equation. Yeah.
Why did you not use a pin month east base with more inputs with that data not available?
Well, the original Kansas water budget that was developed by Dr. Stone, we kept the integrity of that, so we wanted to just use that. In the future, we plan to modify and try different things, but for the study, that's what we did. Not really. Can you say it again?
Yeah, if it's rain fed, I don't see how can you get a water stress or different application of water in order to have a crop production function with different application rates or different application amount of water or different ETs.
Yeah.
So if it is rain fed, it's almost same.
Right. I'm trying to think because I know that ET is it's calculated on a daily time step, so each day. Yeah.
Can you show your water production function? Just so you graph of right there.
Yeah.
So
these points represent like crop water use for the crop season, and then the yield for that season.
So for example, if it's 400 ET, that's you added from the rainfall.
Well, this is crop water use, so ET would be a different value. Right. Yeah, they're different locations. Yeah.
So each point on this graph represents 1 year of observation from the odds of the split.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And they're different soils, different drainage is different. There's lots of factors that go into it.
Very nice. Thanks.
Thank you.